I have been thinking all evening about how to best say this.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on King of OX.
Of swing here in St. Louis. She's the band leader of the Knights of Swing, 16-piece orchestra. They play all over town. A great instrumentation. They play all of the hits of the big band era. I'm speaking, of course, of our great newswoman, Maria Kina. Welcome back, Maria.
It's nice to be with you guys.
Good to be with you. And I want to talk a little big band with you tonight.
Right.
I got all inspired last night watching the Grammy Awards.
Mm-hmm.
I got all inspired watching Billy Joel, who released
yeah.
a new piece of music that I think is rather lovely. The big band era would stretch from, what, the late 20s, 30s, and what in the heyday would be in the 30s and 40s?
It was short-lived. It really wasn't the big band, mm-hmm. true big band, wasn't quite that long. By 46, it was already starting to die out. And not into the 20s. You had a lot coming along there that was evolving into swing music, and Louis Armstrong was very responsible for that.
Right.
So through those decades, you didn't have exactly swing music, but they were going in that direction. And then what happened is, like, Miller and all those guys came along, but they couldn't find their sound in the 30s. And it wasn't really till the late 30s and the early 40s that they came up with what they wanted. And Miller's trick was having a lead clarinet. That was what gave him that special sound, because they all had kind of their own sound.
Well, they certainly did. And, I, you know, you go back, I guess I associate Duke Ellington with big band, but that was really mm-hmm. more of a jazz ensemble in a way.
It was. And a lot of Ellington's charts are called head arrangements. You probably know that, where they're not really anything's written, because his soloists were so fantastic. And when he did write, he would just write around for his soloists to take, you know, whatever it was, like Johnny Hodges or Paul Gonzalez or any of those guys.
Yeah, great music, of course, from Duke Ellington. I like to think about the bands. You had bands that really featured trumpet players. You mentioned mm-hmm. the clarinet and Glenn Miller. Glenn Miller himself, a trombonist.
Mm-hmm.
Fairly unusual, I think, for the big band leader to be a trombonist, but there were probably others. But a lot of them were trumpet players. How would you rank the trumpet players, the band leaders of that era?
Oh, well, Harry James was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And he was married to Greta, Betty Grable.
Oh.
In case you didn't know that.
They said my mother looked like Betty Grable.
Really?
That's what they said.
Did she have Betty? That was Betty Davis.
Eyes.
She didn't like the wire
No, Betty Grable is the one who had the great gams. And she was like a pinup girl for all during the war.
My word.
What was your question? I forgot.
Best trumpet player. So Harry James.
Plus, Harry James. Oh, my gosh. If you're going to talk about Ellington, there was Cootie Williams.
Yeah.
Dizzy Gillespie. I mean, because, you know, they came out of, he was with Erskine Hawkins, and so he came along and then formed his own big band, and so there were a lot of great guys.
Well, you look at Gillespie, and he kind of morphed into what became the bebop movement in mm-hmm. the 50s, along with Charlie Parker and other people like
right.
that, but I associate Gillespie more with bebop than with big band.
Yeah, and I mean, like, if you ever, like, one of the things that when he was with Hawkins, you don't realize, it would sound nothing like him when he was playing with Hawkins, and then when he went along and found his own little sound there, so which was very unique.
Now, you do a lot of the vocal work in the Knights of Swing.
Yes.
All of these bands featured different vocalists. Some of them were amazing. Who were some of the better big band vocalists of the era?
Oh, my gosh. There were so many. I can't think of bad ones. You know, Helen Forrest was Harry James. Helen O'Connell was Jimmy Dorsey. He also had Bob Everly. Jimmy Dorsey did.
Yeah.
So he had a male and a girl. And his brother, Bob Everly's brother, was with Miller, Ray Everly. So I'm trying to think who else came out. Sarah Vaughan, my goodness.
Yes.
There were so many greats. It was such a short amount of time. That's the thing that gets me. All of this talent came out of that time. The writers, the composers, the singers, the musicians. One of my favorites is Billie Holiday.
Yes.
Ella Fitzgerald. How can you not, you know, Ella Fitzgerald was just an amazing young lady. Went on to be the first woman to ever lead a big band after Chick Webb died. So.
Well, there you have it. And did Frank Sinatra have a cup of coffee in the big band era?
Yeah, he started with Harry James.
Yeah, that's just what I thought.
And then he got out of his deal with Harry James and then went with Tommy Dorsey. And then after Tommy Dorsey, he wanted to, you know, branch out from that. And he had a little bit more trouble, I think, getting out of his contract with Dorsey. And then pretty much through the 40s, Axel Stordahl was his arranger and musical director.
Well, that's an aspect of this that you don't think about with all those instruments. The orchestrations for these pieces were very involved and very complicated. Are the charts easy to find doing it contemporarily as you do now?
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty easy to find online now. They're actually easier, more so than they even were 20 years ago, because they're in PDF file, and so it's very different. You used to go to a music store and, you know, buy like sheet music, and they'd all be in there, all the charts. So now it's a lot easier.
Yeah,
and fortunately, they're still in print.
So in your band, 16-piece, are any of the two instruments playing the exact same notes throughout a piece of music?
Yeah, unison. Sure. If they go into a soli, that's where they all start doing a harmony.
Right.
And then it sounds really different. Like, and if the vocalist is singing, generally you sing the lead and the melody, and then they just play the harmonies behind you.
Gotcha. So if you've got two trumpet players, they are likely both playing the same notes for most of the piece.
Sort of, yeah. Mm. For a vocal, it's like when the vocal drops out, they'll do something. You know, they'll do.
And how much improvisation does your group do?
Well, our soloists do a lot because, you know, they can interpret that however you want. I mean, generally, and it's never the same twice. That's the thing with jazz. You know, it's that improv thing. And you don't interpret it usually the same way.
And your love for this music is, I mean, you didn't grow up in the big band era, but you developed a love for it. What's the root of that?
My mom.
Your mom. She loved it.
She loved it. That was her era. She taught me all about it. And, you know, when other kids were like listening to, I don't know, the Beatles.
Yeah.
I was sitting down with her Victrola playing Dinah Washington. Uh-huh. You know, just really stuff that kids didn't play.
Most of that stuff, was it on 78 RPMs?
No, it was already some of this, because she worked in a record store.
Ah.
She had like 45s, and there were already LPs and stuff. Now, the little Victrola, I could only play the little 45s on. And then the big stereo, we could play the LPs on.
So my buddy Doug just texted me.
Uh-huh.
He says, ask Maria about Stan Kenton. So let me ask you about Stan Kenton.
What do you want to know?
Well, I don't know. He didn't elaborate. He said, ask Maria about Stan Kenton.
Well, my gosh. Talk about innovation.
Yeah.
You know, he started out in the 40s and very distinct sound. Lots of backbeat going on. You know, you could really hear it kind of heavy. And then as he went on through the years, he really experimented with jazz in a lot of ways. He became, like a lot of people said, oh, you can't dance to Stan Kenton. Well, you can if he had his dance book out and just beautiful ballads. But, you know, some of the stuff, artistry and rhythm, no, okay, you can't dance to that. So a lot of it was you sat back and you listened. But it was such an incredible band that, you know, people used to just stand around the band and listen to it besides dancing because it was such great musicianship.
Well, there you go. Last question before we let you go.
Oh, and I should tell you about his singers, too.
Well, go ahead.
All right. June Christie, who was from Decatur, Illinois. Shirley Lester. Chris Connor, who came from Kansas City. And let's see, Ann Richards, who he married. And he always liked gals with kind of husky voices and not a lot of vibrato.
Well, there you go.
So there.
So, but Doug Flagg, my buddy, said he actually sat in with Kenton's band out in Phoenix.
Get out.
One time. Yeah, Doug's he's a drummer.
Oh, my gosh.
And when I... before I let you go, I was going to ask you about drummers. Where are you on the Buddy Rich versus...
Krupa?
Yeah, Gene Krupa.
Wow, I don't know. Well, Krupa... I don't know. That's a difficult one. I mean, Buddy Rich was such a...
showman.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And also very volatile.
Yes.
If you've ever heard any of those recordings... with his musicians, you know, when he didn't like the way something was played. I guess Krupa, I really liked a lot, but, you know, we do both. We've got Krupa charts and Buddy Rich charts, so.
There you have it. Gene Krupa and Buddy Rich, Michael. I'm sure you've spent a lot of time pondering.
Michael's ready to go to sleep.
Between snooker and big band, I've learned so much tonight. I think the listeners are... And Doug's listening out there sending
in information, Doug, and
questions.
Well, there you have it. Maria Kina, thank you so much for your time this time. Until next time, we'll see you back when we come back. Michael's got a topic he wants us to discuss.
Oh, there you go. What's listen. That? There he's got. Listen to what Matt's playing.
Stan Kenton.
Nice. Well done. I'll tell you what. Pajeski is the best.
He is.
I think we'd all agree.
I advocate for him around here. That could be the reason he's stuck on overnights.
He's not on overnights. He's with me. We're together.
That's Matt Pajeski. She's Maria Kina. Michael Kelly. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about halftime, Super Bowl halftime performances.
Oh, the best ones. I'm gonna tick off the three best Super Bowl performances ever, and I have an honorable mention.
Can hardly wait. That's next on Camel X.
Yes.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly.
I love it at night.
On King of OX.
Need a day to get through this thing called life.
Well, there you go. We're going to talk about the greatest Super Bowl performances of all time. Halftime performances, that is. Now,
so, nothing to do with the game.
No, nothing to do with the game. We've covered a little bit of the game this evening. Now, we're going to talk about the halftime.
Okay.
This halftime this year will be headlined by Usher. Usher will be there at Allegiant Stadium, John Hancock, out in Las Vegas.
Usher.
So, Usher, yeah.
And, well, is he going to show everybody to their seat?
Yeah, he'll help you get to your seat. He'll have people moving in their seats, uh-huh. man. Only the good ushers get you moving.
Uh-huh.
But here they are. And first, there's an honorable mention. And I have to tell you, that just because and you'll understand when I tell you the top three,
all right.
why this guy's an honorable mention. Probably if he were to continue on his career trajectory, he would be in that category.
But he's not quite there in the upper
in
echelon.
February of 2014 at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey, it was Super Bowl XLV3. What's that?
Yeah, well, you got the XL, X, that's 40.
That's 40.
V3 is 8. That'd be Super Bowl 48.
And it was the Super Bowl halftime was Bruno Mars.
Bruno Mars.
With the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Now, that was good. Bruno, man, he had you moving and stuff.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
So he gets an honorable mention, okay? The third best Super Bowl performance of all time took place in New Orleans, Louisiana at the Superdome, where our St. Louis Rams were beat by Tom Brady in his first Super Bowl.
That was in 2002.
And the halftime performance was the Irish rock band U2. And if you remember, that was right after September 11th. They had a whole ceremony revolving around the names, etc. And I encourage you to Google these on YouTube. You can pull them up and go through them all.
I don't think I've ever seen a halftime show at a Super Bowl.
How could you not see a halftime?
Because I'm there for the football, Michael. I'm not there to see Bruno, you know,
Mars,
whatever
his name
is.
Bruno Mars.
Or the U2s or any of those people. I want to see the game on the field.
Yes.
And halftime is my time to go get something to eat.
Mm-hmm. You know, well, maybe clearly you do that.
Take a little break.
We all know you get a nestle in there to the old
don't
kitchen.
Don't care about the Super Bowl halftime show.
Well, the second best Super Bowl performance, the John Hancock was at the Nacho Bar during.
Yes.
Was on February the 4th, 2007 at Miami Dolphin Stadium.
Yeah.
That'd be Super Bowl XL1, so we know that the X
that's going to be 41.
Times what? Oh, that's 41?
That's 41.
Where do you get 41?
So the X is a modifier of the L, Michael. When the X comes before, when the smaller valued symbol is before the higher valued symbol in Roman numerals, it plays a part of a minus.
Hmm.
So X has a value of 10, L has a value of 50.
Hmm.
So if you put an X and an L together in that order, it's 40. So XLI is Super Bowl 41.
How about me? I went to 12 years of Catholic school. They didn't teach us the Roman numerals either.
Well, you gotta know your Roman numerals.
You know, it's
numerals.
The Roman Catholic Church. You think they teach us the Roman numerals?
Well, you would think so. Instead, they're out there teaching all that Arabic
that
stuff.
Super Bowl was headlined by Prince.
Prince!
Where it ended with the Purple Rain, and it was spectacular. Now, the greatest Super Bowl halftime performance of all time.
Okay, can we get a drum roll here?
In the greatest football and sporting venue this country has. Do you care to guess where it was?
Pasadena, California.
That is right, John Hancock. It was the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
It was Super Bowl XXV2, which of course would be.
That's going to be XXV. That's going to be 27, Super Bowl 27.
27. It was on January the 31st of 1993, and it was the king of pop, Michael Jackson. And if you remember, it was at the Rose Bowl. He popped up on one giant projector screen on one side of the stadium, and then he projected it up on another side of the stadium, a Michael Jackson move. And then all of a sudden he comes out of the middle of the stadium floor, and for a whole minute and 30 seconds, he sat there while the crowd went nuts. 1 minute, 30 seconds, no movement. The greatest artist in the history of entertainment out there just standing.
What did he sing?
Well, he sang all of his songs. Billie Jean's Not My Lover and Heal the World, Make It a Better Place.
Did he do ABC? It's
no,
easy.
He didn't do any of the Jackson 5. Simple it was up, but he did the moonwalk.
ABC.
It doesn't matter if you're black or white.
Oh, he's playing a banjo out there.
Oh, boy.
That's quite a talent.
It was quite a performance. Seriously, you never watched the halftime?
I don't watch the halftime. It's superfluous.
All right, so what? Explain to us what you will do during the halftime, because at my house, and in most other people, normal people's houses, they all hustle to the John, they go to the restroom, and then they get back in time for the performance.
No, there's a good likelihood. So halftime of the Super Bowl kickoffs at 5:40 or 6:40 or 7. It'll be about 7:15 probably when the halftime show starts.
Yeah, maybe a little later.
There's a high likelihood that I will be heavily invested in the mini wieners at that point.
The mini wieners.
Yeah. In the crock pot, sitting there in the barbecue sauce.
Spear them with a little toothpick?
A big toothpick. You know, I don't mess around with your basic, you know, run-of-the-mill toothpick. No. I like a toothpick.
You know, well, if you're gonna jab a wiener, you got to get it with the toothpick.
Well, and I don't want to get sauce on my fingers.
No,
I mean that's a whole. I don't like getting stuff on my hands.
Do you ever get the wieners with the that are in the blankets? Oh, we call them pig in a blanket.
Yes, I mean that's almost too much to ask for.
Really?
Yeah, I mean that's a lot of work. You know, putting those wieners in those.
Yeah, but
like
I'll tell you what, there's nothing better than when they're in those biscuits. Because otherwise, it's just, they're floating around in that sauce.
Yeah.
And the sauce is...
If you know how to do wiener sauce, buddy.
But the way, if you wanted to buy those wieners, where do you go get them at?
Like, well, you go to the small hot dog stand.
Yeah.
And they've got them in
but
there.
I mean, what I have never seen them in the grocery store anywhere.
Oh, they're everywhere.
Yeah,
they're in the little wiener. So you're looking in the wrong place.
Yeah, but where's the sauce? Are they sitting next to the
barbecue
wieners?
Sauce, buddy?
Oh, it's just regular
barbecue sauce.
But they put them in the crock pots and they warm it up.
Yes,
and then you cook the wieners in the.
And then you got
sauce.
The little gurgling going on there. So that's what I will be doing while everybody else is watching. What's his face?
Usher.
Whatever
his John.
Face. I couldn't even tell you.
Do you know who's singing the national anthem?
Yes, I do know this.
Yeah.
It's the Dropkick Murphys.
Is that who it is?
No.
I think it's Chris Stapleton.
Dolly Parton.
I think it's Reba.
It's Reba. Oh, we don't
Reba
know.
Reba and Chris Stapleton.
I do listen to the national anthem.
Oh, you'll do that?
Oh, yes.
Do you stand up at home
of
during
course,
the national
Michael.
Anthem? Seriously.
Yes.
Wait a minute. So you're going to be sitting on your couch on Sunday.
Yeah. No, I won't be on the couch. I will be in my chair.
You're in your chair. You'll have your little cocktail there.
Love my chair.
Maybe a little wiener or two sitting
might
next to
you. Might have a wiener or two at the,
and
at the onset
here comes
of the national anthem.
To honor America with the singing of our national anthem.
Yeah.
Please welcome Reba McEntire.
Nine-time Grammy Award winner,
Two-time Grammy winner.
She's incredible.
People's Choice Award winner for the best painted red hair in all of country music.
Yeah.
Reba McEntire. And you will stand up.
And the crowd will be going wild.
You'll stand up.
Yeah, I'll be up.
Really? Do you make the rest of the people at the party stand up, too?
No, I don't. I'm not a tyrant, Michael.
Do you do this at every sporting event? Like if you were at home watching a Cardinal game and they go to the national anthem, you stand up then, too?
No.
Only on the Super Bowl.
It's the Super Bowl. Now, I tell you, I do get emotional sometimes. If a good rendition of the Canadian national anthem is performed.
Yeah, well, they won't be doing that at the Super Bowl because there's no Canadian football teams. But
it's what I love about hockey. Every now and then, you get the Canadian anthem.
What's the guy's name? Chris Bodie, the trumpet player. He did the God Bless America or the national anthem at one of the big things a couple of years ago. He was so good.
Oh yeah,
no lyrics, the trumpet. That would be lovely. And I always like it at the Cardinal game when the crowd sings.
You know,
a cappella.
Right.
Jack Buck would have them do that every final seed game of the year.
Yeah, and then We had Jose Feliciano that one year during the World Series. It did the
Jose National Feliciano
on his little guitar.
What does he sing in real life?
Well, he's a flamenco, you know, guitar player guy.
I know the guy with a tie, a yellow.
No, that's Tony Orlando.
Okay, Jose Feliciano.
Jose Feliciano, look it up.
Sing one of his songs.
Well, huh?
Sing one of his songs.
He sang the national anthem. Oh, say.
You're the worst.
No, I mean, he was a big time, Jose Feliciano. I think we've exhausted this segment.
So anyway, there's the top three. Michael Jackson, yep. Prince, yep. U2, honorable mention, Bruno Mars.
And everybody, Michael will be watching the halftime show.
I'll have with a critique for you next week.
Great concentration, and he can tell us.
And I'll be able to rank it with amongst those four.
Oh, good. He'll be able
I have a feeling it'll come in number five.
He'll be able to tell me what I missed. When we come back, Michael. Very concerned. King Charles has cancer.
Oh, boy. The king.
That's next.
Will he be okay? Will his son know how to do his duties?
God save the king.
Ugh. Can you imagine the stress that must be on his son right now? I may have to be the king.
It's incredible.
What am I going to do?
That's next. We'll break it all down for you right here on KMOX.
Now, back to Hancock and Kelly. Sponsored by Insperity. HR that makes a difference. On News Radio 1120, KMOX.
Well, the House of Windsor announced today that King Charles III has been diagnosed with cancer. Cancer of what? We know not. But cancer of something we know is. The 75-year-old king of Great Britain, diagnosed with cancer, being treated for cancer at home. He has suspended his royal schedule, Michael. Yes, and he's okay. Not going to be performing official duties for some period of time. And all of Britain is...
No, I don't think so.
...is concerned.
I don't think so.
God save the king.
I think the monarchy, look, once the queen died, we've been through some stuff, and she'd been there since before World War II. Or she was there during World War
II.
Just after World War II.
She ascended the throne.
She takes us all the way to this 75-year-old guy who finally becomes king.
Charles III.
Right, he gets it. And, you know, they're making it a big deal. Like, they broke into news coverage today in the United States.
And by the way.
What?
How long have we had a king of England? It's been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years.
Right.
How can this be Charles III? Has there only been two Charles kings in the whole history?
Well, if his name is Charles III, it's not like they just made it up. And, you know, I'm not Michael the 15th.
But don't you find that astonishing that in all of the history of this empire, British empire, there's only been three King Charleses?
Yeah, but how many kings do you think there's been during the entire British Empire?
A lot.
A thousand?
Oh, no, not been 1,000.
500?
It's been not 500, probably, but there's been
Well, then
hundreds.
Why would there be a bunch of Charles? Went through a bunch of names that, you know.
I mean, there were at least eight.
I wonder if there was ever a King Michael.
No.
You're shocked that there's only been three King Charleses, but never been a King Michael. That's what you're saying.
Well, they got a spaniel named after them, for the love of Pete.
Charles.
The King Charles. I mean, there's only been three King Charleses. Yeah. I don't get it. I don't get it. Anyway, well, I digress.
Yes, you did digress. But here's at the end of the day. They broke into American television.
Yes.
Like a major event had happened.
It's the motherland for so many.
Exactly. We left there, dude. We're done with them. You know? So we left there, and now we're interrupting our own news cycle to tell us that the king has got cancer. And then they're like, oh, and just so you're aware, his son,
William
is now at Windsor Palace. He's been visiting with his father and will help carry out the duties. He's the king. What duties do they have? Nothing.
They get the red box every morning.
Okay.
Watch The Crown?
Yeah, but okay, so she signed some things.
Yes.
I mean, they act like it's a big deal. The guy could be doing it in his PJs.
He's also running the Church of England over there. That's a big deal. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot going on.
It's a figurehead role, dude.
There's
he's
a lot
not
going
actually
on
doing anything.
Being the king.
I mean, they're making it sound like it's a big deal. Now, listen, I think that if you interrupted to tell us that the prime minister had, cancer, well, that's maybe something that you would interrupt American television for. But to interrupt to tell us that the king
of England,
a guy who dresses up in costume still and runs around with crowns on this is what we're stopping our news for?
The monarchy is a vital part of British history, Michael.
Yeah.
And the monarchy is not to be trifled with.
Trifled.
And the monarchy provides invaluable service to the people of Great Britain, not just
Have you always been a monarchy guy?
I love the monarch.
Why?
I go back to, you know.
So when you go, because you're going to Europe this year.
I am.
When you go, are you going to go to Windsor Palace?
Or Buckingham.
Buckingham Palace. Yeah. Are you going to go to Buckingham Palace?
Well, we'll see if I can schedule a visit with the secretary there, but I'm not quite sure.
You're going to go to London, and you're not going to go by Buckingham Palace. It's like going to Washington, D.C. and not going in front of the White House.
What I'm trying to say, Michael, is I'm not yet sure
if
I'm going
to
have an audience.
You're not going to be having
with the king.
No, he's got cancer.
Well, when they find out that I'm going to be there, I'll be there, and also for the World Snooker Finals there in Sheffield.
Well, that will be fun though to go, and you got to go to the Tower of London.
Yeah, got to do that.
The beefeaters who guard the Tower of London.
You got Big Ben
the
over there.
Crown jewels are over there.
You got all the
Look,
crown
kids,
jewels.
Big Ben, Parliament.
I want to see the Churchill Museum.
The Churchill Museum. Then you got to go out to some of the. You got to go by her place, it's not his place now. Buckingham Palace.
Yeah, that's what I said. Buckingham Palace.
Yeah. Well, I think you'll have a good time. I'm looking forward to you going there.
Oh, I am too.
Are you going to call into the radio show when you're over there?
I've never been over
Friday?
There before. I guess it'll be in the afternoon over there when you're on the show.
Yeah,
on Friday.
Right. Well, I've called into you when I've been on holiday Europe and have checked in with you.
You have. I will do so, yes.
Yeah. Do you think you'll walk around with a little poppy flower on like they do in England,
What?
They wear that little flower. It's like a poppy flower that the king wears. They wear like on their...
I'm not wearing any flowers.
Really? You're Mr. Monarchy. I thought you might be into the monarchy.
Well, I'm not going to go out there and put flowers on myself.
My grandma was an Irishman. She hated the monarchy.
She did.
Yeah, well, it was Ireland. They oppressed us.
They did.
So she was like, hey, look, we shouldn't be honoring these folks. But it is kind of cool that they still play dress up and prance their horses
around. Are your ancestors from Ireland or what is now Northern Ireland?
No, Ireland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Northern Ireland, it was all controlled by the Brits at one time.
Right.
No, we're Southern.
So Northern Ireland is part of the British Empire. Ireland is an independent country.
Yeah, but it's all the same island.
I understand.
Yeah. And when I was there, the time that I went to Northern Ireland, both times I've been to Northern Ireland, it was prior to Brexit.
Uh-huh.
So you literally could drive your car across the border and stuff. I think they've negotiated some type of special situation, but that was one of the sticking points of Britain pulling out of the EU, which was still the stupidest thing they could have done. The EU, they should have never pulled out of the EU, but whatever. And so that's messing up a lot of the trade and the commerce that would take place, literally like Skinker to, one side St. Louis City, one side St. Louis
right.
County.
Yeah.
That close.
Well, that's the way boundaries kind of work a lot of times.
But, they're right next to each other. It's not like you're going into a different country.
Right.
We make a big deal out of going into Mexico. Not as big a deal coming here.
Clearly, yes.
we say that's okay. And, by the way, we don't need to deal with it because we're going to wait, right, until there's a new president to deal with it, like a Supreme Court justice, right? When Barack Obama was going to appoint somebody to the Supreme Court, we said, no, we need to wait for the next president. We now have a negotiated settlement for the border, and we're saying, no, we need to wait for the next president, correct?
Something like that.
I'm just trying to keep up with
that. I know you are, Michael. He's Michael Kelly. I'm John Hancock. We have just one segment left in this magnificent program we like to call Late Night with Hancock and Kelly. When we come back, a massive event coming to St. Louis this year.
This is going
to
be awesome.
That's next on KMOX. And Monarchy.
About to be a great night.
Really good tonight.
Yeah, this is one hell of a night.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on KMOX.
Things are looking up, brother.
They
Things
are looking
up here in downtown St. Louis.
Well, you look
Louis.
At the rich history of St. Louis, Missouri. We had the World's Columbian Exposition here in the 1904.
Fair, 1904. I never heard much. You never hear much about that fair, do you?
Yeah.
We ought to celebrate it here and remember it a little.
We were the home of the Olympic Games.
1904.
In 1904.
Washington University.
The Olympic Games.
Yeah. Glen Echo Country Club.
Yes.
Golf was in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, coming in 2024, we will be the home of the third, one of the biggest sporting events I think any of us have ever witnessed. It'll be the third championship game of the United Football League.
Hey,
it's
now
going to be here in St. Louis at the Dome at America Center.
This is the merger, this is the merging of the Rocks, XFL?
Yes.
And the USFL.
That's correct.
Have merged together. They're going to have one giant season. They're going to play a neutral site game, and it's going to be here in St. Louis sometime in June.
June the 16th, I
think that's awesome. I mean, good for us, right?
Big.
We got a dome. We can hold 70,000, 80,000 people in it.
65.
And we've got rabid fan base. Now, you got caught up in the XFL right there prior to COVID.
I was. You know, the first season, it was kind of a thing. I was making fun of the Battle Frogs, you know, you'll remember yeah. early on. And
not you, John, would be making fun of something to later then say, well, I'm okay with it.
Well, and it became a thing.
Uh-huh.
And people were flocking to these games and down there at the... I think it might have even been called the Edward Jones Dome back then, but maybe not. It's the Dome at America Center.
You know what originally was?
It was the TWA Dome.
The Trans World.
That's right. That's
Airlines
right.
Dome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was. I got really excited. The team was entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
We had that quarterback, his name?
And, he was good.
He was good. What was his name?
I don't know. He went to the NFL, though, didn't he?
He was a backup for a while.
AJ McCarron, right?
No. Right. He's the current.
I'm talking Battlehawk, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. No, the Battlehawk quarter, the first season, it was old, what's his name?
I think it was AJ McCarron.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Not in the first season.
Now, back to Hancock and Kelly. Sponsored by Insperity. HR that makes a difference. On News Radio 1120, KMOX.
House of Windsor announced today that King Charles III has been diagnosed with cancer. Cancer of what? We know not. But cancer of something we know is. The 75-year-old King of Great Britain, diagnosed with cancer, being treated for cancer at home. He has suspended his royal schedule, Michael.
Schedule?
Yes, and he's okay. Not going to be performing official duties for some period of time. And all of Britain is...
No, I don't think so.
...is concerned.
I don't think so.
God save the king.
I think the monarchy, look, once the queen died, we've been through some stuff, and she'd been there since before World War II. And so, or she was there during World War
II. Just after World War II. Ascended the throne.
She takes
of the House
us
of
all
Windsor.
The way to this 75-year-old guy who finally becomes king.
King Charles III.
Right. He gets it. And, you know, they're making it a big deal. Like, they broke into news coverage today in the United States.
And by the way,
what?
How long have we had a king of England? It's been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years.
Right.
How can this be Charles III? Has there only been two Charles kings in the whole history?
Well, if his name is Charles III, it's not like they just made it up. And, you know, I'm not Michael V.
But don't you find that astonishing that in all of the history of this empire, British Empire, there's only been three King Charleses?
Yeah, but how many kings do you think there's been during the entire British Empire?
A lot.
A thousand?
Oh, no, not been 1,000.
500?
It's been not 500, probably, but there's been
Well, then
hundreds.
Why would there be a bunch of Charles?
They probably
went through a bunch of names that, you know.
I mean, there were at least
wonder
eight
if there
Henrys.
Was ever a King Michael.
No.
You're shocked that there's only been three King Charleses, but never been a King Michael. That's what you're saying.
Well, they got a spaniel named after them, for the love of Pete.
Charles.
The King Charles. I mean, there's only been three King Charleses. Yeah. I don't get it. I don't get it. Well, I digress.
Yes, you did digress. But here's the end of the day. They broke into American television.
Yes.
Like a major event had happened.
The motherland for so many of us.
Exactly. We left there, dude. We're done with them. You know? And so we left there, and now we're interrupting our own news cycle to tell us that the king has got cancer. And then they're like, oh, and just so you're aware, his son,
William
is now at Windsor Palace. He's been visiting with his father and will help carry out the duties. He's the king. What duties do they have?
Oh,
There's nothing.
They get the red box every morning.
Okay.
Did you not watch The Crown?
Yeah, but okay, so she signed some things.
Yes.
I mean, they act like it's a big deal. The guy could be doing it in his PJs.
He's also running the Church of England over there. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot
it's
going on.
It's a figurehead role, dude.
He's not actually doing anything. Being the king.
I mean, they're making it sound like it's a big deal. Now, listen, I think that if you interrupted to tell us that the prime minister had, cancer, well, that's maybe something that you would interrupt American television for. But to interrupt to tell us that the king
of England,
a guy who dresses up in costumes still and runs around with crowns on, this is what we're stopping our news for?
The monarchy is a vital part of British history, Michael.
Yeah.
And the monarchy is not to be trifled with.
Trifled.
And the monarchy provides invaluable service to the people of Great Britain, not just
Been a monarchy guy?
I love the monarch.
Why?
I go back to, you know.
So when you go, because you're going to Europe this year.
I am.
When you go, are you going to go to Windsor Palace?
Or Buckingham.
Buckingham
Palace.
Are you going to go to Buckingham Palace?
Well, we'll see if I can schedule a visit with the secretary there, but I'm not quite sure.
You're going to go to London, and you're not going to go by Buckingham Palace.
Oh, no, we'll go.
It's like going to Washington, D.C., and not going in front of the White House.
What I'm trying to say, Michael, is I'm not yet sure
if
I'm going to have an audience.
You're not going to be having
with
an
the
audience.
King.
No, he's got cancer.
Well,
dude.
When they find out that, you know, I'm going to be there, I'll be there, and also for the World Snooker Finals there in Sheffield.
Well, that will be fun, though, to go, and you got to go to the Tower of London.
Yeah, got to do that.
The beefeaters who guard the Tower of London.
You got Big Ben over there.
The crown jewels are over there.
You got all the crown jewels.
Big Ben, Parliament.
I want to see the Churchill Museum.
The Churchill Museum. Then you got to go out to some of the. You got to go by her place, it's not his place now. Buckingham Palace.
Yeah, that's what I said. Buckingham Palace.
Yeah. Well, I think you'll have a good time. I'm looking forward to you going there.
Oh, I am too.
Are you going to call into the radio show when you're over there?
I've never been over
Friday
there before. I guess it'll be in the afternoon over there when you're on the show.
Yeah,
on Friday.
Right. Well, I've called into you when I've been on holiday Europe and have checked in with you.
You have. I will do so, yes.
Yeah. Do you think you'll walk around with a little poppy flower on like they do in England, you know?
What?
They wear that little flower. It's like a poppy flower that the king wears. They wear like on their...
No, I'm not wearing any flowers.
Really? Well, you're Mr. Monarchy. I thought you might be into the monarchy.
Well, I'm not going to go out there and put flowers on myself.
My grandma was an Irishman. She hated the monarchy.
She did.
Yeah, well, it was Ireland. You know, they oppressed us.
They did.
So she was like, hey, look, you know, we shouldn't be honoring these folks. But it is kind of cool that they still play dress up and prance their horses
around. Are your ancestors from Ireland or what is now Northern Ireland?
No, Ireland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Northern Ireland, you know, well, it was all controlled by the Brits at one time.
Right.
No, we're Southern.
So Northern Ireland is part of the British Empire. Ireland is an independent country.
Yeah, but it's all the same island.
I understand.
Yeah. And when I was there, the time that I went to Northern Ireland, both times I've been to Northern Ireland, it was prior to Brexit.
Uh-huh.
So you literally could drive your car across the border and stuff. I think they've negotiated some type of special situation, but that was one of the sticking points of Britain pulling out of the EU, which was still the stupidest thing they could have done. The EU, they should have never pulled out of the EU, but whatever. And so that's messing up a lot of the trade and the commerce that would take place, literally like Skinker to, one side St. Louis City, one side St. Louis County.
Yeah.
That close.
Well, that's the way boundaries kind of work a lot of times.
But, I mean, they're right next to each other. It's not like you're going into a different country.
Right.
We make a big deal out of going into Mexico. Not as big a deal coming here.
Clearly, yes.
we say that's okay. And, by the way, we don't need to deal with it because we're going to wait, right, until there's a new president to deal with it, like a Supreme Court justice. Right. When Barack Obama was going to appoint somebody to the Supreme Court, we said, no, we need to wait for the next president. We now have a negotiated settlement for the border, and we're saying, no, we need to wait for the next president, correct?
Something like that.
I'm just trying to keep up with it.
I know you are, Michael. He's Michael Kelly. I'm John Hancock. We have just one segment left in this magnificent program we like to call Late Night with Hancock and Kelly. When we come back, a massive event coming to St. Louis this year.
This is going
to
be awesome.
That's next on KMOX. And Monarchy.
About to be a great night.
Really good tonight.
Yeah, this is one hell of a night.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on King of OX.
Things are looking up, brother.
They are looking up
here in downtown St.
Louis. Well, you know, you look at the rich history of St. Louis, Missouri. We had the World's Columbian Exposition here.
I never heard much. You never hear much about that fair, do you?
Yeah.
We ought to celebrate it here and remember it.
We were the home of the Olympic Games.
1904.
In 1904.
Washington University.
The Olympic Games.
Yeah. Glen Echo Country Club.
Yes.
Golf was in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, coming in 2024, we will be the home of one of the biggest sporting events, I think, any of us have ever witnessed. It'll be the third championship game of the United Football League.
It's going
to be here in St. Louis at the Dome at America Center.
This is the merger. This is the merging of the Rocks. What, XFL?
Yes,
and the USFL.
That's correct.
Have merged together. They're going to have one giant season. They're going to play a neutral site game, and it's going to be here in St. Louis sometime in June.
June 16th. I
think that's awesome. I mean, good for us, right?
Big.
We got a dome. We can hold 70,000-80,000 people in it.
65.
And we've got rabid fan base. Now, you got caught up in the XFL right there prior to COVID.
I was. You know, the first season, it was kind of a thing. I was making fun of the Battle Frogs, you know, you'll remember early on. And
not you, John, would be making fun of something to later then say, well, I'm okay with it.
Well, and it became a thing.
Uh-huh.
And people were flocking to these games and down there at the, I think it might have even been called the Edward Jones Dome back then, but maybe not. It's the Dome at America Center.
You know what originally was?
It was the TWA Dome.
The Trans World.
That's right. That's
Airlines
right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was. I got really excited. The team was entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
We had that quarterback, his name?
And he was good.
He was good. And what was his name?
I don't know. He went to the NFL, though, didn't he?
He was a backup for a while.
AJ McCarron, right?
No. Right. He's the current.
I'm talking Battlehawk, sorry.
Yeah. No, the Battlehawk quarter, the first season, it was what's his name?
I think it was AJ McCarron.
No, it wasn't. Not in the first season. Okay. They had a season, then they stopped the season, then they didn't have a season, and then last year they had a season.
Oh.
I'm going back to the season they had the first season.
Huh.
And the quarterback, what's his name? And I got caught up in the whole thing, Michael. I bought tickets to the game.
Wow.
For myself, my son, my sister.
Uh-huh.
We were all going to go. We were very excited.
Okay.
And then that darn coronavirus out there ended the season. I never got my $116 back for those three tickets I bought for the battle.
No, it was your contribution to the pandemic.
Yeah, definitely.
Jordan Teemu.
Yeah, Teemu.
Teemu,
that's exactly who he was.
And so if you remember, there's a lot. I know you got caught up in the energy, et cetera. But I think it's great that we're going to have a major event. You know, in the USFL and XFL, they've got TV contracts. There's no bigger sport in this country than football.
Right.
And people are clamoring for football. And when college, I got to tell you, this past weekend was miserable. You know, basketball really hasn't gotten started. You can watch some of the games and stuff, but nobody knows who's any good. The tournament's what makes it all exciting. The golf is in, you know, a perilous spot right now. They're fighting with each other. Everybody's chasing dollars. NBA basketball really doesn't get going until playoff time. People are clamoring for football. I think this is going to work. And now that you've taken and then you've merged them together, and you're going to be having it in the big cities in New York and California, Chicago, California, L.A., and Chicago, but it's also going to be in cities like St. Louis that will give it the attention and that it deserves.
Well, St. Louis was the only city that really turned out in any kind of significant numbers in either one of those leagues. And I hope they do better with attendance. But, I mean, we are such sports-crazy people in this town. We love football, and we embrace these Battle Hawks. I've embraced them. I root for them. I don't know if McCarron's coming back or not as our quarterback. Have we heard? Because he went and signed a contract in the NFL this year.
He did? Why?
As a backup.
Somebody needed him.
Yeah.
Did he get any play-in time?
I don't think so.
No.
But whether he comes back...
But good for him. That's what this affords people. Is
well, he was in the NFL.
Play
so
and get back in.
He was in the NFL. He was a backup. He could have stayed a backup in the NFL and made good money. And instead, he joined the XFL last year because he's got young children.
Uh-huh.
And he wanted his young children to see him play.
Really?
And that's why he came back. And,
do you think his kids would have rather him had made money and not seen him, or seen him and dad have a little less money?
I think they enjoyed seeing him play.
Yeah. I think later in life they'd be like, Dad, you left what, $10 million on the table? What are you thinking? You should have done 10 more million. I don't remember you playing in that dome.
But that's the one thing I will say about the dome.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to have this championship game at the dome. They got to do something about the field there.
Yeah, it's, the last time I saw it, it looked like it had like somebody had painted it gray almost.
Yeah, it's not good, and it's been rolling up collecting mothballs over there since the Rams left in 2015.
Do you think it's the same turf?
Yes,
I mean, they haven't bought new turf since.
No, I can't imagine they have. And it looked kind of washed out and
gray.
Yeah,
looked like
right.
They painted it gray.
Right, yeah,
yeah. It needs a little attention. That dome needs some attention too. I mean, most of these NFL teams are already building new stadiums that are, the same age as the Dome. I really wish we could have figured out a way to build a stadium. I mean, the NFL is such a key part of Americana, and we don't have it.
They put the group together to try and build a stadium down at the riverfront.
We had resistance here.
But Kroenke was out the door. That was the whole plan. You go back and look at what happened.
But we had a chance to checkmate the NFL.
Maybe.
Had we have been able to say we were going to build this stadium.
He was gone.
They would have had to give us an expansion team or figured something out, right? No?
No.
I think the NFL's done with St. Louis
done
with the NFL, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I think that's right. And we are probably the best sports city in America that doesn't have an NFL franchise. I mean, this is a really good sports city. And when those Rams were humming, man, that dome was the place to be.
It was rocking, man.
Afternoon.
It was loud, wasn't it?
It was loud. It was enthusiastic. My mom and dad bought the PSLs.
Did they really?
Yeah. They had seats.
The
they
rich
had,
people.
They had a whole little crew of people that they sat in the end zone.
Uh-huh.
And their seats were. And I went on occasion.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was a huge event in this town. Yeah. It was going down to see Rams football on Sunday afternoon or Monday night when they were good. Kroenke systematically just let this team just dissolve.
Right.
Yeah.
He wasn't invested.
And it
in
was
the
his
city,
plan to take that team
along.
Out of here from the day he, the Georgia Frontiers kids couldn't afford the estate taxes.
Right.
So they had to sell their share of the Rams. Kroenke bought it. Shad Khan, now the owner of the Jaguars, wanted to buy the team. And Kroenke, he was moving this thing out of town.
He's a bad dude. He still remains a bad dude. I hope he should be excommunicated from the state of Missouri. I don't know what that means, but some official action. Maybe that's what some politician ought to do, is say, we're going to prohibit Stan Kroenke from coming to the city of St. Louis in the state of Missouri.
I don't think that's legal.
Why not? They can keep you from reading a book.
He's Michael Kelly. I'm John Hancock. The Best of Glover is coming up. I want to thank Matt Pajeski, all of our guests tonight for joining us, and all of you for listening. We'll see you next week on KMOX.
About to be a great night.
Really good tonight.
Yeah, this is one hell of a night.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on King of OX.
Things are looking up, brother.
They
are looking up here in downtown St. Louis.
Well, you look at the rich history of St. Louis, Missouri. We had the World's Columbian Exposition here. In
the World's Fair, 1904. I never heard much. You never hear much about that fair, do you?
Yeah,
we ought to celebrate it here and remember it.
We were the home of the Olympic Games,
1904.
In 1904,
Washington University,
the Olympic Games.
Yeah, Where Glen Echo Country Club.
Yes.
Golf was in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, coming in 2024, we will be the home of the third, one of the biggest sporting events I think any of us have ever witnessed. It'll be the third championship game of the United Football League.
Hey,
it's
now.
Going to be here in St. Louis at the Dome at America's Center.
This is the merger, this is the merging of the Rocks, XFL?
Yes.
And the USFL.
That's correct.
Have merged together. They're going to have one giant season. They're going to play a neutral site game, and it's going to be here in St. Louis sometime in June.
June the 16th, I believe.
I think that's awesome. I mean, good for us, right?
Big.
We got a dome. We can hold 70,000, 80,000 people in it.
65.
And we've got rabid fan base. Now, you got caught up in the XFL right there prior to COVID.
I was. You know, the first season, it was kind of a thing. I was making fun of the Battle Frogs, you know, you'll remember yeah. early on. And
not you, John, would be making fun of something to later then say, well, I'm okay with it.
Well, and it became a thing.
Uh-huh.
And people were flocking to these games and down there at the... I think it might have even been called the Edward Jones Dome back then, but maybe not. It's the Dome at America's Center.
You know what it originally was?
It was the TWA Dome.
The Trans World.
That's right. That's
Airlines
right.
Dome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was. I got really excited. The team was entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
We had that quarterback, his name?
And, he was good.
He was good. What was his name?
I don't know. He went to the NFL, though, didn't he?
He was a backup for a while.
AJ McCarron, right?
No. Right. He's the current.
I'm talking Battlehawk, sorry.
Yeah. No, the Battlehawk quarter, the first season, it was old, what's his name?
I think it was AJ McCarron.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Not in the first season. Okay. They had a season, then they stopped a season, then they didn't have a season, and then last year they had a season.
Oh.
I'm going back to the season they had the first season.
Huh.
And the quarterback, what's his name? And I got caught up in the whole thing, Michael. I bought tickets to the game.
Wow.
For myself, my son, my sister.
Uh-huh.
We were all going to go. We were very excited.
Okay.
And then that darn coronavirus out there ended the season. I never got my $116 back for those three tickets I bought for the battle.
No, it was your contribution to the pandemic.
Yeah, definitely.
Jordan Timu.
Yeah, Te'amu. Te'amu, that's exactly who he
and
was.
And so that, if you remember, there's
thanks,
a lot. Peace. I know you got caught up in the energy, et cetera. But I think it's great that we're going to have a major event. You know, in the USFL and XFL, they've got TV contracts. There's no bigger sport in
than
this
football.
Country than football.
Right.
And people are clamoring for football. And when college, I got to tell you, this past weekend was miserable, you know. Basketball really hasn't gotten started. You can watch some of the games and stuff, but nobody knows who's any good. The tournament's what makes it all exciting. The golf is in, you know, a perilous spot right now. They're fighting with each other. Everybody's chasing dollars. NBA basketball really doesn't get going until playoff time. People are clamoring for football. I think this is going to work. And now that you've taken
two leagues.
Well, it
certainly works here.
And then you've merged them together, and you're going to be having it in the big cities in New York and California, Chicago. California, L.A., and Chicago, but it's also going to be in cities like St. Louis that will give it the attention and that it deserves.
Well, St. Louis was the only city that really turned out in any kind of significant numbers in either one of those leagues, and I hope they do better with attendance. But, I mean, we are such sports-crazy people in this town. We love football, and we embrace these Battle Hawks. I've embraced them. I root for them. I don't know if McCarron's coming back or not as our quarterback. Have we heard? Because he went and signed a contract in the NFL this year.
He did? Why?
As a backup.
Somebody needed him.
Yeah.
Did he get any playing time?
I don't think so.
No.
But whether he comes back.
But good for him. That's what this affords people.
Well, he was in the NFL.
Play so and get back in.
He was in the NFL. He was a backup. He could have stayed a backup in the NFL and made good money. And instead, he joined the XFL last year because he's got young children.
Uh-huh.
And he wanted his young children to see him play.
Really?
And that's why he came back. And,
do you think his kids would have rather him had made money and not seen him, or seen him and dad have a little less money?
I think they enjoyed seeing him play.
Yeah. I think later in life they'd be like, Dad, you left what, $10 million on the table? What are you thinking? You should have done 10 more million. I don't remember you playing in that dome.
But that's the one thing I will say about the dome.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to have this championship game at the dome. They got to do something about the field there.
Yeah, it's, the last time I saw it, it looked like it had like somebody had painted it gray almost.
Yeah, it's not good, and it's, you know, it's been rolling up collecting mothballs over there since the Rams left in 2015.
Do you think it's the same turf?
Yes,
I mean, they haven't bought new turf since.
No, I can't imagine they have. And it looked, you know, kind of washed out and
gray.
Yeah,
looked like
right.
They painted it gray.
Right, yeah,
yeah, it needs a little attention. That dome needs some attention too. I mean, most of these NFL teams are already building new stadiums that are, you know, the same age as the Dome. I really wish we could have figured out a way to build a stadium. I mean, the NFL is such a key part of Americana, and we don't have it.
You know, they put the group together to try and build a stadium down at the riverfront.
We had resistance here.
But Kroenke was out the door. That was the whole plan. You go back and look at what happened.
But we had a chance to checkmate the NFL.
Maybe.
Had we have been able to say we were going to build this stadium.
He was gone.
They would have had to give us an expansion team or figured something out, right? No?
No.
I think the NFL's done with St. Louis
done
with the NFL, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I think that's right. And we are probably the best sports city in America that doesn't have an NFL franchise. I mean, this is a really good sports city. And when those Rams were humming, man, that dome was the place to be.
It was rocking, man.
Afternoon.
It was loud, wasn't it?
It was loud. It was enthusiastic. My mom and dad bought the PSLs.
Did they really?
Yeah. They had seats.
The
they
rich
had,
people.
They had a whole little crew of people that they sat in the end zone.
Uh-huh.
And their seats were. And I went on occasion.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was a huge event in this town. Yeah. It was going down to see Rams football on Sunday afternoon or Monday night when they were good. Kroenke systematically just let this team just dissolve.
Right.
Yeah.
He wasn't invested.
And it
in
was his plan to take that team out of here from the day he, you know, the Georgia Frontiers kids couldn't afford the estate taxes.
Right.
So they had to sell their share of the Rams. Kroenke bought it. Shad Khan, now the owner of the Jaguars, wanted to buy the team. And Kroenke, he was moving this thing out of town.
He's a bad dude. He still remains a bad dude. I hope he should be excommunicated from the state of Missouri. I don't know what that means, but some official action. Maybe that's what some politician ought to do, is say, we're going to prohibit Stan Kroenke from coming to the city
but
of
I don't
St.
Think
Louis
he can
in the
do
state
that.
Of Missouri.
I don't think that's legal.
Why not? They can keep you from reading a book.
He's Michael Kelly. I'm John Hancock. The best of Glover is coming up. I want to thank Matt Pajeski, all of our guests tonight, for joining us, and all of you for listening. We'll see you next week on KMOX.